When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
So let's talk about that and bring in John Keim. He is ESPN's Commanders beat reporter, also host of the John Keim Report. That's a podcast you can download. And he owns a beagle. I think that's very important. I once owned a basset hound, same family. Very important to throw out there. John, great to have you on the show. We appreciate you being with us. And I'm using a little bit of hyperbole talking about the Commanders selecting Joe Alt. They're not going to do that. You know that.
Well,
we've heard the case.
They won't, but there are some old Linophiles out there that would love that.
Okay. Would you make that case?
No, I would not make the case. I'm just saying, like, every once in a while I hear from someone like, they've got to build up the line. They should take a tackle and get a quarterback later. And then it's like, no, we're done. So, but there, right. there is that segment of the population out there.
Oh, you're not wrong, because there's always someone who says you start from the inside out, you build the line, then you grab the quarterback. But we know this franchise is going to go with Jaden Daniels,
Drake May,
even though we've heard, oh, the analytics team really likes JJ McCarthy. Who do you think it's going to be and why?
Oh, I think it'll be Jaden Daniels, and I'm not assuming it's Jaden or Drake either. So I do think that JJ has fans, and it's funny because people are kind of split on him. Some people will put him as a third best quarterback in the draft. Some people will put him as a sixth, but I do think in the end it doesn't matter who the second guy is. The first guy is Jaden Daniels, and I think I say that because this the game changing ability. I think there's this assumption that he's closer to a ceiling, and I don't think that. When I talk to people who either work with him, study him, I don't feel like they think that's the case because the strides he made as a passer, and then you add, again, the explosiveness with his running ability, that's why I think he'll eventually be the pick, or ultimately.
John, everything that NFL organizations do, it's all pretty calculated for the most part. So bringing in all these quarterbacks to have dinner together, what was the purpose of the group dinner, and what do you think the team learned from that situation?
Well, a couple of things. Well, first, Adam Peters was in New England. They've done that. Adam Peters was in San Francisco, and they've done that. I think the unique situation in terms of bringing a big group in together, and it wasn't just the quarterbacks, and they all went out to Topgolf, and there were about 20 of them, I think it was, for that top 30 visit. So it wasn't just the quarterbacks. I just think what makes it unique is the choices they have at quarterback. And they also brought in Michael Penix in case somebody made him an outlandish offer and they had to trade down and see what he's about. So, you know, I think it was also a lot was made about it. But by that point in the process, you're pretty far along. And if you're using Topgolf or the dinner to separate the group, then maybe either they were closer than you thought or – maybe you don't have as much information as you need. But I do think part of it is they do like to watch how guys interact with each other. So I think that's part of it. And that would be true whether you're an offensive lineman, a defensive end, or a quarterback. But a quarterback, you want to see how do they operate within a group and how do they get along with the group, you know, especially in a situation, you know, in a new situation. And then the other part is, and Dan Quinn is huge on talking about whatever they do in practice, he wants to be competition. He loves any form of competition. And so, you know, this is another, you can go to Topgolf, and if you've been there, like, you can compete whether you're good at golf or not. And because they have just the different games that you can play there. So I think some of that may have been from that, but it was just, when you bring these guys in, again, you're far along in the process. I don't think they came away from that thinking, okay, now we got to change our board here. But I do think it can confirm some things. But the real purpose of that whole trip was to meet with them one-on-one. And they had a chance to do that with all the quarterbacks. So that was that's going to be a bigger thing. And just going over, you know, play retention, getting them up on the whiteboard and diagramming some things or talking to them a little bit more in depth about some of their own background and, in previous games, et cetera. So, but the Topgolf got the big headlines, but it wasn't like some deciding factor. I think it was more just some punctuation on the process.
Yeah, it's not like, guys, I like Daniels, but Penix hits a hell of a 7-iron. What do you think?
Right.
It's not really going to switch it up.
Did you see how Drake May handled that Angry Birds loss? That's what I want in my quarterback. But it was unique. I will say that. And here's the other thing. We don't know if this process is going to work or not because we don't know yet. We don't know the end result. And, I know some people criticized it, and that's fine. But we don't know, is this good or bad? I mean, it worked in San Francisco. But see, if they get the quarterback right, then you can say, yeah, it worked.
We're talking with John Keim. He is the ESPN Commanders beat reporter, also on X at John_Keim. John, you know this franchise as well as anyone. Can you put in perspective for us how important this draft is? Because we know about the new ownership and about Adam Peters, a new head coach, but they were very good during the offseason dealing with all that money under the salary cap. Now they have 8 picks. This really could be a cornerstone draft for this franchise. There is a lot at stake.
Oh, there's a ton at stake. And it's funny because, congrats, Adam Peters. Here's the keys to the job or to the building. Get the number 2 pick right. And so it starts with there. They have been looking for a long-term answer at quarterback for decades. And so it starts with that. But they also have a chance because they have 6 picks in the top 100. And, joking about Joe Alt, they need a left tackle. So this is a good draft for tackles. So you have a chance, they need corner help. They would like to get a defensive end. And I bring up all of those spots because those are the most expensive spots on a roster. So if you can get those right, you're getting premium guys or guys at premium positions for rookie salary. So it allows you to build out other parts of your roster as well. So, that to me is also a big part of this, that if they came away from this with a starting quarterback and starting left tackle that could be in place for more than a couple of years, that's a big W. So it's massive. And, I think we all know that there's been a lot more excitement around the franchise because of the ownership change, and rightfully so. But the next step is getting it done on the field. If you really want to get these fans back, you've got to show that, okay, it's not just change, but it's a better product. That's what this draft does. And I've liked their process in the offseason as far as, how they approach free agency and how then they can use a draft to build it. Now they just have to get it right, because you're right. Like, they can set this franchise up and turn it around, maybe not necessarily this year, but for the long term, they may be able to finally build something that they can win with for more than 1 year.
John, a ton of picks, like you just mentioned, not only the second, but after that, 2 more in the second round, 3 more in the third. Where do you see them addressing the offensive line position? Do they take someone with that 36 pick in the second round, or is that somewhere a little bit more further down the board they'll address that?
I think they're going to have to, whether it's a 36th pick or the 40th pick, they're going to have to use one of those on a tackle. Now, the other option is to trade back into the first round, because there's really good depth at tackle, and there are some guys where I think teams are a little bit split on. Like, some tackles have a range of going between, like, the 20th pick and the 60th pick, based on what people hear, right? So there's a wide range of opinion on some of these tackles, so you may be able to stay at 36 and get your guy, but you may also see some guys that you like going in the end of the first round that maybe you want to trade up and make sure you get one. So that's a possibility there. But I think one of those second round picks has to be used on a tackle. They cannot come out of this draft without a high pick at tackle. And I think one of the other ones would be, I think defensive end would be one to watch. Tight end is one to watch, and corner would absolutely be one to watch as well. And that might be more, some of those may be more third round types, but those are the ones that I would put as the what I would think they would come out with, and that was first. But you never know how it breaks, but going into it, that's what I would expect or anticipate.
John, we've got about 3 minutes to go here, but just in general, and I know this is sort of a top-down question to ask, but how much have the day-to-day operations changed? How much have you seen things sort of start to shift over the past couple of seasons with this franchise? Because as we all know, under Dan Snyder, it was completely different.
Well, I think one of the biggest changes, you actually see people smile. So, I mean, you know, I don't think this is a finished turnaround by any means. And even you talk to people higher up, and it's like, it's going to take several years to really get a turnaround. And so they're going to attack the football side first and get that squared away. Because without the product, it's hard to sell things. And then you start going to the business side. Then you get to the stadium and all that. So, I mean, they're doing the stadium stuff now, but like by the time it's finished, it's going to be, or by the time they even decide on it, it might be another year. I think the difference is, first of all, we're not in the building every day, so it's hard to say on a day-to-day what people are like in there. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen is more of a structured blueprint for how to run an organization. And what I've seen is them investing a little bit more in the infrastructure to help the players. So, for example, they brought in a guy to help with the health and wellness aspect. You know, that's a little bit different. They brought in somebody to help with in-game strategy, et cetera, and help with compliance with the league, right, during games, which just sounds like a minor thing, but it's really not many teams do it, but it can be an important thing because they've been penalized and fined over the years for various infractions. So it's like, it's one thing where it's like, take care of that, right? So I think some of what you see is them attracting people who have really good reputations in the field they're in. And I think that's kind of a difference too. But I think, you know, it does sound like when you talk to people there, I think they definitely are happier because it's just a more professionally run organization. And I think before it was when Dan Snyder first got there, one person who had been there a while, a prominent person, was like, he said the philosophy was fire, aim, ready. And now it's ready, aim, fire. So I think it's just there's more structure to it. And I think that, you know, in the long run, that should make a difference.
He's as good as it gets. Check out his podcast, The John Keim Report. He is ESPN's Commanders beat reporter. It is our friend John Keim. John, we really appreciate the time. Thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks.
You bet. He's right about that. I mean, John, again, he's been around this franchise and he knows it. And just being out there in Ashburn, I can tell you, earlier this summer, Kate, they had basically people come in and just observe, experts, and say, what can we change here? What can we change here? What can we change here? They're already changing the media room. They're changing where things are shot so they can have a more robust way to shoot interviews, way to put out content. They're investigating the stadium and maybe move it to RFK. That would be ideal. But it's such a big job. It's just going to take a few years to kind of get everything in line because there's a lot of work to do, like John was saying. But at least that work is starting to be done. Finally, it's been a long wait.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.